The board, has this come back from 45-minute executive session with legal counsel pretending to reply to the communique from the State of Washington AG's office in the context of the ongoing Senate investigation? And it's still in draft form, our reply, so that document is not subject to public record requests or should be made public at this time. Now, resuming budget hearings, we completed the 2020 hearing for San Juan County PHG number one. Second one is San Juan Island EMS 2020 budget hearing. Chief Kuzink, sir.
So, commissioners, I basically have really no substantive changes to the document presented in our workshop, other than we have, I will refer to on the first page, item 15, penalty from civil investigation demand. We're proposing to hold $350,000 in reserve. We'll keep it in operating reserve. I know Commissioner Lindstrom had suggested moving into the capital or into the actual capital reserves fund, but being that it's not capital, yeah, we felt it wasn't appropriate to do so. We've also added that if you look at line 17 and line 18 on that front page, that the $117,000 that we normally customarily pay out to pay off the bond on the building to be physically moved into the capital reserve fund 6512, as well as the vehicle and equipment reserves. So those have been highlighted and changed. There were a couple of little tweaks in terms of payroll and expenditures there. Chris was able to do a little refinement, but other than that, no substantive changes. And I know, Commissioner Lindstrom, you had asked about the employee health and those funds have been allocated. That increase in the insurance was accounted for in the first workshop budget that was presented, so it is there. That's really all I have for you, other than if you have specific questions for me.
I do. I talked to you earlier about last time I suggested that it would be a better idea to take all the grant money and put it in reserves other than using it for operating expenses. And
in terms of which grant money, the GEMT money specifically or ACH money?
ACH money, both. Both, although GEMT does go against some other things, but that's specifically for other things. So it would be the ACH money I should be talking about.
The ACH money, it's a capital reserve?
And you, well, somewhere other than operating expenses. But you had said today, and did I get it wrong, that you're using about 20 of that?
Basically, you know, we have, if you actually pull back the money that we had planned on for GEMT along with ACH money, and you pull that out of the reserves of the $2,691,000, and you back that up, and then you look at our total expenditures, we're actually only dipping into those funds about $20,000-$25,000. So yes, we're the original discussion was let's eliminate all the GEMT money, let's eliminate all the ACH money, use the remainder and have our operating expenses be that. We're close within about $25,000. So I hope my plan was to be very conservative with the budget, plan for the worst, hope for the best. I did kind of come to the top ends of some of these things, but I honestly believe that we won't hit the top end of those expenditures. And I would, this way I think we can still fund some of those non-essential programs that we all feel are very important for our community and basically get the things done, you know, whether they're in terms of outreach or some, you know, improvements that we can do with that. So I'm more than happy to tweak that. If you want, I can, you know, throw that all into reserve. But in my opinion, I think we're being pretty fiscally responsible with that.
It's technically income, so it's fine for the state.
And I would like to be able to use that for some of those things, hopefully, as we keep refining the process. We're still kind of in some of the, I don't want to say experimental places.
Developmental
places, you know, where we're still trying to figure out, you know, we haven't had a real good feel for our staff EMTs, our, you know, how much vacation time is being used, how much overtime are we coming up against. We've tried to put some programs in place where we're relying on per diems, where we can offer a wage without benefits, basically, to our high-responding volunteers who are willing to take a 24-hour shift. Those pieces are still in development and being worked on, and I think we're gonna be all right that way. So I'm ready to take your direction at that.
Well,
as a board.
It is, yes. Income, however, it's grant income. Mm-hmm. And we only have one of those grants assured through 2020. The other ones are federal grants and might be being looked at for other reasons. So we might be cut off of those at any time, who knows? So that is always my worry.
Right.
The grant money is like your grandma sends you money for Christmas. But you can't count on that for your normal operating expenses.
And conversely to that point, I did not budget in any other grant monies, ones that we historically have had long-standing relationship with, things like the grant that we received from the C Foundation, grants that we've gotten through the state. Laney's our grant expert, and we very historically can rely on several tens of thousands of dollars in grant money coming in. I didn't budget for any of that because, again, it's that same principle. It's nice when grandma sends the check, but you can't always count on that. So I think we're in a pretty good place to offset those kind of things.
Well, those grant monies, some of them are specific to equipment. Some they all go through. Those are the monies you're talking about that go through the association.
Not necessarily. Some of them come directly to EMS. Yes.
How does that happen?
I would defer to Director Volk. She's still here. She is.
How do they go direct?
Government grants go.
Oh, government grants.
Tax.
Yeah, but the individual grants have to go through.
It depends on the setting. So C Foundation, that specific one, has to have a 501c3 to go through. But not everyone that is a private foundation requires a 501c3. And being a tax entity that's nonprofit, some places do choose, can grant to them. They don't get the same.
They don't get the same
write-off.
Tax write-off.
Right.
That's why it kind of depends on who's willing to be the grant for.
Yeah. And those you didn't include in here so that you could.
None of them.
So it's half, you know, six of one, half dozen of another. You either include them and you dump the other, or you don't include them and do this. This is fine then.
Okay,
thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome. Well, it's fine with me. I was the one bringing it up, so, I mean, you've got it covered. Just covered in a different way.
I'm hoping so, yes.
The mortgage on this building.
Correct.
The amortization schedule.
Yes.
Is that interest front-loaded, like on a house?
I don't know. I would have to ask. I mean, we're making our usual and customary payment on that. I did notice that in some of the actuals that we ran, the amount allocated to principal versus the amount allocated to interest kind of got out of whack.
Does it change?
And I think it must change, because as I was looking at it, there was a discrepancy,
a deviation.
A deviation, that's the better word, thank you, where the total sum is the same.
So it's
how
amortized.
Yeah.
It's probably amortized interest front-loaded.
Right, and so that big payment that we made when we sold the building changed the balance.
Well, not only changes the balance, it changes where you are in the amortization.
Exactly.
It moves you down.
Right.
So
paying less in interest, more against principal.
So we have all these reserves. Maybe we should consider taking some of our capital reserves and doing it again, so each month we're paying more to the building and less to interest. Because if you move down another $150,000, you're making money on that investment that you are going to make anyway, and you're paying more on your balance and less on the interest. We should carefully look at that and I feel, make as big an investment as there we can, because if...
Paying it down.
With potential integration, they're not going to rent this building very long.
Yeah, this is a big liability to be carrying.
Yeah, and I think if we can advantage ourselves by moving down the, and we'd have to look at it, we'd have to look at the definitive words, but it's a common technique.
Yes.
And it's not the pay to every month. It's no, you make a big lump sum with them saying, okay, we're moving you down your 50-year, you know, 22 steps on this, or
right,
whatever we do.
And I can say that when we did receive the funding from the sale of the building, at that point in time, we weren't as far down the integration pathway as we were, and advice then from CPA, from our CPA was, just maintain status quo, keep the normal payment. That was the best course of action. Now, as though we're basically moving more definitively along the track toward integration, it may very well be that that's a better strategy.
So I think we should investigate that, because we might be able to save $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on the other end by investing $150,000 right now.
Yeah, and
that's going to be a good return.
At least at this point in time, as we're as we're reinvigorating that capital reserves fund, it's a good time to look at it.
And Mike Taylor can help you with that, those
perfect
calculations. He was one of the ones that advised just to stay for right now, but
Mike Taylor,
when you're looking at it, he will look at it with
right
you
now too. Is no longer the status quo.
No, but he can look again with them.
Perfect.
All right.
Any other comments, questions of Carl relative to this 2020 budget?
I move acceptance.
Second? Assuming no one has additional questions. And will I offer a second? Yes, I will. So, discussion period, formal discussion period before we call for a vote. Dr. Mark, any questions, comments? Annalisa? Rebecca?
No.
I have none.
My only comment is what we just talked about. I'd like a report back on that in a month so that we can move
I'll
on.
I'll make
that.
It 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
We'll be gone by then.
I'm going to be gone in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
I hope.
Thank you, Carl.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Oh, yes. I forgot to vote.
And on November 20th, when we meet in November, then we will present all of the necessary resolutions and the tax levy resolution, the tax levy certification, and those things will be voted on and approved, hopefully. And then we'll get all of that to the auditor's office by November 30th.
Another good reason to have that meeting early. This, you know, meeting the November 30th, 31st, whatever it is.
November 20th.
Yeah, so you...
In terms of processing all that requisite to meet the deadline, is what I'm saying.
The point, though, being that you can kind of signal your general approval by motion of the budgets, but they have to be adopted by resolution next month.
We understand that. Okay, Carl, we conclude the two formal budget hearings.
We need a formal vote.
Oh, that's right. I'm trying to meet Warren's 15-minute timeline here. Yeah, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Thanks so much. You'd have to repeat it the next go around. Then we call for a vote. Okay, so now we formally close the two budget hearings and open up the regularly scheduled meeting, and we promise that the commissioners to be able to speak, and now's the time. And Trish, you first, ma'am. Any questions, comments, whatever?
I was making a note, and forgive me, I didn't hear what you said. Could you repeat that?
I can't remember. No, I said. So it was brought up that you know, we did have the public comment period, you know, very essentially at the very beginning of the meeting.
Yes.
By changing the agenda at the get-go. So we'd like to make any comments or questions from you, the two individuals who are, you know, commissioners-to-be available this time.
I had a good conversation with Rebecca earlier today, which I really appreciated. And, yeah, thank you. And I have sent a letter that I think was forwarded on to all five of you. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that, you know, I don't mean to be a thorn in anyone's side, but I did, you know, I just feel that need to have sent that letter. So
okay,
I don't think
you.
I have anything else.
Deborah.
Yeah, I also sent you a letter, and I think you've all received that. Other than what's in the letter, I really don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I'm happy to see you getting on with business.
So, following the agenda, unfinished business. Committee reports, I know we have one, Dr. Mark, and that is the helipad.
Yeah, did you want to comment on that?
No, you're the master of the helipad. I can comment. But
just one person sitting in a room. So we had a meeting with P-Cells, Charles Prosper, Mary Ann King, and Pam Hutchins was there, and Michael was myself, and by phone, Tom Cable. And the substance of it is that they would like to have a further discussion of the subject and with all stakeholders at a meeting to be determined, and we'll just see where that goes.
Any idea about timeline on that?
It was asked and not answered.
Okay.
So the good news in that regard is that we have all the so-called stakeholders at the table at the same time. I think that's what we've been asking for many, 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 many months. And we made that point, particularly Martin made that point a number of times, and that now we're finally getting some traction in that regard.
I should mention too that Chris Martin is participating by phone.
Yes, correct.
Chris Martin is the CEO of Airlift Northwest.
So the new COO, which is Chuck Prosper, guaranteed that we would get a fair shake on consideration of a helipad, and that's a good sign in my book. Any other committee reports? Bless you.
Oh, can I ask about that meeting too? Was there discussion of the SID with Pam?
No.
There was not.
Supposed to be? It's just never happened.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see. There was no CCC meeting, correct?
No.
There was no steering committee meeting for the integration, correct?
Correct.
So that ends that. Update with regards to the Third Amendment Peace Island Medical Center Subsidy Agreement. Annalisa, you were there.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
We met Chuck Prosper, who you mentioned is the new COO for the Northwest region for St. Joseph's. And
actually for Peace Health.
Peace Health, sorry, Peace Health all together. So, you know, I think this is regarding our subsidy agreement of $50,000 for services that PIMC can't or won't provide, that we're legally required to provide to our community. So it was just a discussion about whether or not that was an appropriate amount of money, and you know, just for him, I think, to get to know us, it seems like, because he's new. And there were no decisions made.
No, and basically it's gonna be rediscussed in early December, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna submit a game plan to us. We discuss a couple of increases.
No cost decreases. Of living, yeah.
Yeah, cost of living and this and that. The good news, too, is a spinoff is that apparently the CCC has access to considerable amounts of money that can be utilized for extended care, long-term care, which I didn't know about. I'm not a member of the CCC. Lisa is and Warren is. Because I try to hit him up for additional monies in the name of the Third Amendment to the Subsidy Agreement, but that was, in a way, inappropriate. That said, and I will reiterate that they have committed up to $20,000 to help the Inter Island Healthcare Foundation finalize the multiple stages in the evaluation and for long-term care, and I think that's terrific. So I think they're committed to the concept, and you know, monies will come flowing in that regard. And thank goodness, because we need it. I mean, this is, you know, typically it's a loss leader in the industry, and let alone putting it together, just maintaining it. So it's good to see Peace Health as an enthusiastic partner in long-term care. So that was brought up in the course of the Third Amendment discussion. So it's good news. Okay?
When is our subsidy agreement up for renegotiation? Is that, when does it end? 2021?
The subsidy agreement? No, it's not up for renegotiation. It's
this one.
That's the Third Amendment discussion.
Right.
Just the Third Amendment or the
2022?
Okay. Thanks. Okay, next on the agenda is the two-touch rule for major contracts, resolution 19-512. And the author to that is, again, Annalise.
Yeah, I figured we had a very long meeting ahead of us, and I didn't know if we would get to this today, so.
Well, I reread it, and it basically reflects the suggestions made to make it a two-touch rule versus a three-touch rule. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it pretty much reads the same, so I'd like to make a motion, or actually this is a resolution, to accept it as written.
Second.
Very good. Discussion?
Yeah, on paragraph 1, it says that all major contracts shall receive review at a minimum of 2 board meetings. In paragraph 2, it says this is not intended to be restrictive. It goes on to say that it's advisory rather than binding. So is the word shall in paragraph 1 appropriate? Since it's advisory only, or should it be should, perhaps?
Or you could say ideally, as opposed to shall, although what it says down below, Mark, is the essence of it. This is an advisory resolution.
Yeah, but the word shall isn't perfect.
I understand that. You're the English major. So and that's why I said ideally.
It does before.
Is that
one says
ideally?
Shall, one says restrictive, so okay. Should. But then there's a couple shells in here. I change that.
Well, the intention is that we operate with transparency, so it should be as clear as we can possibly make it.
Oh, no, I agree. And again, Mark's a master of English, so what do you suggest, Mark, to make it internally consistent?
Just say should. Paragraph 1, change it from shall to should.
Is that enough, paragraph 1? Does it need to be changed anyways else?
So paragraph B here, it says it changes the document, shall not restart the review process. I'm okay with that.
I can probably make that change after the board meeting, but you'll have to wait an extra 5 minutes.
Why don't they?
Well, can we pass it with that change?
Yeah, you can pass it as amended.
Sure.
Yeah.
As long as the author is okay with it. Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So with that change in mind, I call for a vote. Assuming there are no other comments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Very good. So the discussion in a local agreement, as I mentioned 2.5 hours ago, will be a special meeting to occur between 1 and 2 weeks from now. And there's no new business, and the meeting is adjourned. What?
When are we going to have the special meeting? Everybody was going to look at their calendars. So.
Well, that's it. That's up to you and Nathan to sort that out, everybody.
And they have the next 2 days off, so we can worry about it on Monday.
We were looking at the 11th, Monday the 11th, because Carl's going on vacation. And
I'll be back on the 11th.
He'll be back on the 11th.
That's what you think.
And it would be at 5 o'clock.
Where you go?
Redwoods.
The big question was that.
Availability of the new commissioners. That's
right.
Ever are you going to be around on the 21st? Was it 21st?
The 11th.
The
11th at 5 o'clock.
It is Veterans Day.
The 11th, I'm going to be in Seattle. Can you phone in?
I could meet earlier, and I could meet the next day.
Where's the 5 p.m. come from?
It comes from new commissioners to be able to attend, or the new commissioner candidates.
So 3 of them here at 3 p.m.
So I'm fine with 3 p.m. too. I mean, if the majority of the folks can show up, starting with the seated commissioners, the new commissioners, and the public, and that order, the better, as far as I'm concerned. If it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 9 a.m.
Okay.
or 5. So if Anna Lisa can make it, that's very important.
Yes.
At least the date. We can hammer down the date.
I can do it the next day.
The 12th?
Mm-hmm. On the 12th, we can't use this room. It's training night that night.
Well, if we're before 5.
If we do it before, yeah. Okay.
And are finished.
The 12th works for me. The 11th does not.
I'm just worried about the 11th because it's better.
It's better, yeah. We had talked about that.
Weekend. I don't know. I mean, if that matters. But.
It does to me. I'm a veteran.
Well.
We all had talked about that, but we only have a
12?
Certain
what time then?
Day.
We'd have to
Lainey, is anything happening here on the 12th?
That's
training night.
Well, so we said that, but during the day.
When does that start?
We often set up the classroom. I don't know what the training is off the top of my head. So we use this space, but if we need stations, we set up stations in advance.
How far in
so
advance?
Without knowing. But
like when do we need to be out of here by, do you think?
Well, you're out of here by 3, then even if we're setting up stations, we'd be okay.
So they weren't, yeah.
Okay. And we have to start earlier than 3.
And then
we had a meeting at 10:30 this week.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I'm fine with 10:30.
Sure. Doesn't matter.
I mean, whatever makes it work, as far as I'm concerned personally.
It's what time can y'all come on the 12th?
I can come at 10:30.
Okay.
10:30. You ever? Anytime? Okay.
And we're doing the 11th to 12th because fire's meeting on the 14th. Is that? Or why aren't we doing the 14th or the 13th or the 14th or the 15th?
Well, there's no hard and fast reason. We don't want to be inordinately, you know, down the road.
I think Kyle, I think his job keeps him later. I'm not certain. I don't know what his hours are, but I know that he is a little tighter.
Yeah, he's been working a lot in Seattle.
Oh, why don't,
okay. If he knows ahead of time enough, he said he might be able to come. And I think if Gail knows ahead of time enough, she might be able to come. So this might give them the...
Uh-huh. I hesitate to say this because it's work for me, but if perhaps we got a date, I could call all of them and ask what time
it
works.
So let's shoot for that. Anytime during the day.
12, I'm fine anytime.
Okay.
Whenever,
all right.
And maybe Gail and Kyle can phone in, too. I mean, the commissioners do that all the time.
And if the 12th does not work, whatever. Do you want to designate like a backup date, or do you just kind of want to reevaluate if the 12th does not work? I know you guys want to go. But.
The 12th work for all of you?
Does for me.
Does it work for all of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Warren, or
and it works for them.
I only have my limited calendar here. I have to.
My experience in scheduling things, it usually saves you a lot of time to have two options.
I could do the next day.
Yeah.
I will get back to you tomorrow morning. A couple things going on in Seattle that schedule is a little flexible and it deals with
anytime
court stuff and stuff like that. So.
That's fine.
County Council meeting the
13th.
In here? Yeah, County EMS Council.
Oh, okay.
Can do that.
When is that?
So let's just try for the 12th, Nathan.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's just go.
We will try for the 12th.
We got 5 of us.
Are you willing to meet early, like at 8 a.m. or something, if
that's
that accommodates?
I would.
If there's
okay.
Decent coffee.
Yeah, bring some from Dutch Soup.
Decent coffee.
All right.
Yeah, don't laugh.
Okay.
That would be a treat.
That's right. That's why I said that.
There is good coffee.
Does everybody like pastries?
And donuts.
Stuff.
Okay. We're talking.
Okay, yeah.
Do we have things to sign?
You do have things to sign. I'm going to stop.